Blog Talk Radio.
This is Taino Sagrado, a.k.a. Sanacori. I'd like to welcome you to Guasabara Taino Radio. Radio Taino Guasabara. This is a show that's dedicated to old school radio here in cyberspace that we call the World Wide Web. Please look us up at tainospidey.webs.com for updated information about the show. And also, you can always download the show archively, and this is at blogtalkradio.com/Guasabara1491. Just want all to know that Guasabara means warrior or war, and the war that has begun, as Taino Sagrado, is the war against ignorance and arrogance. Ignorance from those that believe that the Taino are extinct, and the arrogance of continuing to write about this, continuing to believe the story is narrative. Well, we need the narrative back. We gotta control the narrative, so it's very, very important to do this. So Taino, what does that mean? That will be for another show. But for today, part three of the creation stories, part three. And I got some emails, and you can always email me at tainosagrado@gmail.com, or you can go on the website tainospidey.webs.com. You can send me your contact information, and you can always, you know, give some input. Now I got a lot of emails from people stating that I should take my time with the creation stories, that I'm kind of speeding and not really covering it, because a lot of people have tons of questions. So what I want to do is I want to transform myself into a turtle. I want to walk nice and slow. I'm going to devour these creation stories. And also, I got a lot of questions about who is this cacique Guatibala that I mentioned as Juan Mateo. Well, once again, he was the translator of Ramon Pané, who was sanctioned by Christopher Columbus to learn what he could about the Taino, their worldview, their religious beliefs. And this is what Columbus wanted from Pané, who, according to history, was a friar of the Jerome order. Now, there's some speculation that he wasn't. He was more of a lay brother, which is more of a, you know, not taking religious vows. But we know that he put his name to the work, Relación, the relationship of the Taino, okay, the stories, the antiquities. But check this out. I think it's very important to understand. I'm trying to get Antonio Arroyo Stevens, the famous author of The Cave of the Agua, because he has a theory that's very interesting. He says Ramon Pané didn't write these stories down, these creation stories, because he didn't know the Taino language. He knew a very localized language of Macorís, one of seven, but not the main language. So how in the world can he translate these stories from Taino to Spanish? So I'm trying to get him into a show. I heard his lecture once, and it blew me away. Back in 1992, John Paul II included Juan Mateo, or Cacique Guatibala by name, he said, as the first cacique Catholic, also the first martyr that died for the faith. what happened was the other caciques killed him because I guess he was sharing a lot of these stories, and they were worried that the Spanish would manipulate these stories and take control, or whatever, which did happen. But those are for other shows. We could dwell into that, like who were the main characters, the linguists, and so on. Also, Professor Julio Stevens of Brooklyn College, he also mentions that Juan Mateo, or Cacique Guatibao, was the first anthropologist and linguist since he created these works. So I'm going to slow it down. I'm going to go back to what Ramon Pané wrote. And basically, when he opened up his account of these stories, creation stories, he said that he spoke to the caciques at the time, okay, which my theory was Cacique Guatibao, in Española, as they say back then, which is Haiti, which was the traditional word for the island that we call Dominican Republic or Quisqueya now. And basically, the caciques told him that there were five eras in the Taino universe, universal story. It encompassed five eras. Now, Juan Arón was a Yale professor, wrote an article called The Creation Myths of the Taino. Look it up. It was written in the book called Taino, Pre-Columbian and Culture from the Caribbean. And it was on Monticelli Press and Museo del Barrio, the publisher. So please check that out, because José Juan Arón, A-R-R-O-N, was a Cuban scholar, and he wrote from Yale. His article is amazing. He breaks it down superbly. Also, Antonio Arroyo Stevens breaks these stories using comparative religion tool. So let me slow it down. So there's five eras, okay? So I'm going to go in reverse like a turtle, and I'm going to start again in the first era we're going to talk about. In the first era of creation, we have a character, first character. He's referred to as old man. His name was Yaya. Okay. So we can assume at this point that Yaya is like the supreme spirit. The translation is spirit of spirits. Now, this Yaya had a son, and his name was Yayael, which means son of Yaya. And Yayael was rebellious. He rebelled against his father. So Yaya banished him from the community. Okay? But something must have happened that Yaya was not pleased, and he killed him. So he put his bones in the gore, and in this gore, he hung it from the rafters of the bohio. Here we got a little glimpse right now. And in future shows, we're going to break all this down. Just want to, once again, give it to you bare bones, literally, no pun intended. But in this gore contained the bones of Yaya, the son, and he hung it on the rafters of the bohio. So one day, Yaya, I guess he wanted to see his son's bones. He missed them. So then he told his wife to lower the gore down, you know, So he and she, they lowered the gore down, and what they found was bones. What they found was that the bones were transformed into fish. So according to the story, what they did was they ate the fish. So on future shows, we're going to break this down. But once again, I'm throwing it back at you. So if you're taking notes, here we go. The first era of creation begins with the old man, Yaya. His son, Yayael. We have a gore. We have bones hanging on top of the bohio. And now we have a wife that Yaya had. But there's no need for this wife in the story. So very, very interesting if you guys are taking notes. It's always important when you read a story. And this is what they do in biblical studies. It's called exegesis. It's a tool where you break down the names, you break down the customs, the symbols and so on, and then you get behind the text. We're going to do that in the future, okay? We're going to get down to these clues of customs, okay? Hanging a gore full of bones in the rafters of Bohio. There's a lot of information that we're going to break down. but we're just reading at it as is. It's like reading the Bible for what it's, you know, fundamentally, like what the fundamentalists do. They just read it as is, and they don't care to get behind the text. So this is what we're doing now, okay? Now, there's a second part to the creation stories, and this is the second part. There were four sons that all of a sudden they show up. And it says that these four sons had a mother. Okay? And Mahrom, he translates Itiva Kahubaba as the bloody age mother. Okay? Now, they arrive when Yaya went to the gardens or the kunukos, okay, in the Taino dialect. Now, according to the story, Itiva Kahubaba, there's a little brief story about her. She died during childbirth. And she gave birth to four sons were delivered via cesarean because they said that she died after the first son was born. And only one son was given a name, Deminan Karakarakol. We're going to get into names in a future date, future show. So these four brothers wanted to get the gore down. They saw this gore. And only Deminan, according to the story, he was the first one to come out the womb. Deminan Karakol, he was the one that, out of all the brothers, he said, I want to get down that gore. So what happened was they got the gore down. And what did they do? Just like Yahya and his wife, they ate the fish. So as they were stuffing themselves, guess who they heard? They heard Yahya returning. Now, according to the story, they went in there without permission. They hear Yahya returning. Now they're scared. So in haste, out of, you know, nervousness, they took the gore and they tried to rehang it in the rafters. It'll go heal. And they tried to, you know, Deminan tried to put it in securely. And what happened? With their haste, with the rush, the gore fell. And what happens to the gore? Like very sensitive gores that have been dried out for a long time. Boom, it cracks, it breaks. And guess what comes out? Water. Okay, all this water comes out. And in this water, it contained many, many, many fish. Okay? And what happened, this water just took over the whole land. Now, this is what Panes states. And they say that this is where the seed came from. So at this point, in the second part of the story, we have four brothers. We have their mother, Itiva Kahubaba. There's the name. Okay, we have introduction of the fish once more. Okay, and water in the gore. But with haste, they try to put it back. They got nervous. Yeah, it was returning. Boom, it falls in a brace. And this is the origins of the ocean or the sea. Okay. Now, there's a third part to this first cycle of the universal Taino era. Now, they were fearing Yahya's anger, okay? Not only did they enter his home, his bohio, or I should say his kane, caciques or people of high importance would live in a kane, which is a rectangular structure compared to a bohio that's round. But what happened was feared his anger, so they're out of there. So what happened was they fled on another land. And it was and this is the language. There was another cacique there. So here's a little insight. Yahya is the supreme cacique, but now they go visit another cacique. So we have another character introduced here in this third part, Bayamanako. Now they refer to Bayamanako as their grandfather. And what happens? They court Bayamanako, making cassava bread. And the cassava bread is still being cooked in many parts of the islands, like the Dominican Republic. Also Guyana, the Arawaks there, they still make the cassava bread. And according to the story, the reason why he was making cassava bread, because he knew the secret of fire. Okay? Is another clue. We're not going to get into that now, but we just want to know that Bayamanako was making cassava bread because he knew the secret of fire. So Deminon, once again, he takes the lead. He's the only one with the name. And he asks for some bread. Now, for some reason, this asking of the bread enraged the old man, Bayamanako. So he spit on his grandson's back. Okay? Now, what did he spit? According to the story, it was a spittle that included jojoba. Now we have an introduction of jojoba, which is a powder that was created by the Bejiques and the Caciques, and it was used in ceremonies. Okay, similar to ayahuasca or peyote. And what happened, the spit was full of jojoba. So somehow when it hit Deminon's back, it created an ulcer. Almost like he was burned and an inflamed, and he got infected. And this caused a lot of pain and swelling on Deminon's back. So from this growth, this ulcer, right, the three brothers tried their best to help Deminon, you know, because they saw that his brother was in pain and also on the point of death even. So one brother took an axe, and we have an introduction of an axe, and the name of the axe, okay, that we introduce here is a manaya. It's another Taino word. In future shows, we're going to break down these words and the meanings of them, but we know it's a sacred axe. So what happened was they cut the ulcer that was on Deminon's back. Okay? Boom! What happens? Out comes a live female turtle. Okay? And what do they do with the turtle? Eventually, they build a bohio for her. And they shared the female turtle. And from her, she gave birth to the first humans. So in this first era, it's an amazing story of an old man. In review, if you're taking notes, Yaya, Yayael, an unknown wife, ancestral bones, okay, bones turn into fish and water. They eat the fish, Yaya and his wife. Now we have an introduction, part two of this story, this creation story. We have a Tiva Kahubawa, and she died at childbirth. Only the first boy was named, and the other three were taken out via cesarean from the womb. We have a character now, another one, Deminon Karakarakor. We're going to get to his name in the future. What does Karakarakor mean? So I'm taking it slow. In past shows, I throw you a lot of nuggets out there, and I don't really elaborate, but I'm taking it slow now. So Deminon goes on an adventure. Oh, I'm sorry. Deminon, he saw that, you know, he was hungry. His brothers were hungry. Kahubawa wasn't there to give him breast milk. So what happens? Boom. They smell the fish. They keep the gourd down. And they hear Yaya returning, which made them very, very scared. So they hung up the bohio. They hung up the gourd on the rafters of the cane or the bohio. And because they didn't fasten it, it fell and it broke. All this water comes out. All the fish come out. And according to the caciques who gave Pané this story, Ramon Pané, this is the origins of the oceans of the sea. And then part three, Yaya, really angry now, okay? And what happened was the brothers went to another cacique. So we have Yaya's cacique, I guess the supreme cacique, then we have Bayamanaco. And what happens? He gets upset when Deminon asked for bread that he was cooking because he knew the secret of fire, the Sava bread. And he threw a spittle at him, which was the conguayo, which is a jojoba mixture. And what happened was it created an ulcer. Manaya is introduced, the sacred axe, cut the ulcer, and out comes a live female turtle. and from her. They created a house for her, and with her they had children, and this was the creation of humanity. So thus ends the first cosmic era, and it's the era, according to Arome, of the creators, you know, and it came to an end. These are celestial beings. These are not human beings. But these human beings, these celestial beings, these sacred beings, it was through them that created humanity, through the turtle. So I gave you a lot of stuff. If you're new to the Taíno creation stories, if you're new to it, this is probably overwhelming. But I just want to let you know that it's something that you have to digest. You have to take it slow. You got to reread it. It's just like the Bible. This is our sacred text. It was something that was left to us, and it was something that we need to study. We need to pray over it in ceremony. We got to teach our children. These are our sacred texts. What a privilege it was 538 years ago for this work to be shared, to be written. Now, my theory was not Ramón Panay, since he didn't know the English. It's funny, when you read the whole story, the whole text, Ramón Panay even admits he doesn't know what's first, he doesn't know what last, he's all confused, he doesn't know what's going on. So for me, that's telling me he didn't write this. And once again, like I began the show, Pope John Paul II, when he went to Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, in 1992, to celebrate the evangelization of the Americas and celebrating Columbus's discovery. Yeah, they got that wrong. But in his letter, he did write, Cacique Guatibaba was the first martyr of the Americas. He was the first Catholic, indigenous. But for our sake, because, you know, I'm not Catholic, if you're Catholic out there somewhere, maybe this is something that you're proud of, that Taíno Cacique was a Catholic. He was killed. Well, according to the church, he was killed for the faith. But check this out. What I like is that if he did write this, according to Antonio Arroyo Stevens, he was the first anthropologist, the first linguist in the Americas who was indigenous. And we know that Juan Mateo, that was his name, the Spanish gave him. He was educated in the Spanish language. He knew how to write it. He knew how to speak it. And that's amazing that we have that in our history. So there we are, the first era out of five. Okay? So it's very important. And once again, there's a great book out there called Taíno, Pre-Columbian Art and Culture from the Caribbean. There's great articles in there, and I really recommend it. If you can look it up. I know the Indigenous Mobile Library here in New York City, we have a copy of it, which I'm using for this show. And there's a great article in there, The Creation Myths of the Taíno, José Juan Arón. Maybe you can find it, you know, online. It's really, really amazing. I'm going to start downloading articles. You can go on Facebook, and it's called Wasabara Taíno Radio. If you want to join the group, you want to share your information. I'm also looking for a co-host or co-hosts in the future. And we're going to get into a lot of the creation stories where it talks about the opias, the dead. And we're going to do some future shows about that, because there's some stories that were handed down even to the modern reign of contemporary times about upias, you know, a.k.a. El Cuco. Also, there is interest from one of my friends. He's talking about the star people, which is a term used by the North American tribes, that the star people are ancestors. And right here in the first creation story, we're talking about these celestial beings creating humanity. There's a theory that these celestial beings are actually star people. So we're going to get into that, because eventually the Taíno creates semis, these little sculptures of these beings. And there's 12 principal beings. So in a future show, we're going to tackle that. So please tune in. If you have any interest in that, please let me know in tainosagrado@gmail.com. Just look it up. Send me an email. If you want to be a host, help me out. Come on in. If you want to be part of the show, I'm interviewing people who are of indigenous Caribbean. It could be Taino, Kalinago. You know, we're looking for Caribbean folk. And, you know, it's going to be fun because, you know, it's great. The foundation of our culture should be the traditions, you know, as much as that we can learn. But then we're creating new traditions. We're creating new traditions for the future of our children and future communities. And it's very, very important that we do that. I want to give a shout out to all the people out there who are trying their best to unify the people through yukayekes and communities and so on. It's not perfect because after 1492, it started crumbling the political system, the structures. In future shows, we're going to talk about what did that look like back in the late 1400s, 1500s. We're going to get down and really discuss a lot of those historical figures, okay? A lot of people don't know, but Ponce de Leon was one of those Indian killers, they call them back then. And then he brought his experience in Haiti to Puerto Rico or Borinquen. There's just a lot of stuff we can learn. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be covered in Wasabara, Taino Radio. Wasabara means war or warrior. This is a nonviolent war that we have to take on, okay? Arrogance against ignorance, and it's passing on the knowledge, okay? So I'm looking for future people to see if you want to come on the show. There's some people I'm already recruiting for future shows. If you look at the early shows, we had some North American natives coming down comparing traditions, family traditions. So please tune in. And the bottom line is I'm trying to get people on the show. And eventually I'm trying to get a studio so we can get this done where we can invite people in the studio and offer some meals for them. And also, Wasabara Taino Radio definitely wants to raise money, funding for children, okay? For children who want to go to college. And this will be an amazing task. It's going to be very difficult. There's a lot of Tainos that they always ask me that they, you know, where can we apply for federal loan, you know, federal tribal loans for their children? Unfortunately, we're not a federally recognized nation. So I want to give future information, future shows how you can donate for that. This will be a social, you know, Wasabara Taino Radio is a social enterprise. It's not a nonprofit because what happens is with nonprofits, you have to file taxes and so on, and there's certain restrictions because the government is in control. So at this point, I don't want Wasabara Taino Radio to be controlled by the U.S. government. So we have to do a social enterprise. It's following a business model for social advocacy. For this, it's cultural, which is a Taino culture. So we only got 50 seconds left. So I just like to thank everyone once again for being here, for being on the show. All you future listeners who downloaded the show, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here. Those that were live, thank you for tuning in. And we're going to continue era number 2, the second cycle of the Taino creation stories. It's 5. I'm walking like a turtle, okay, to introduce this. Thank you. And this is the theme song that my daughter, Anani Ramos, wrote for the show. Taino T, everyone.